Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Now, the reason we're not going to study more than this today is because we want to deal with the subject of election. The study of election. Look at the verse here. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved," and then he mentions some things, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, those kinds of things. And when you see that little phrase there, as the elect of God, if you've never had any exposure to people who teach election as a doctrine of God having made the decision in eternity whether you'd be saved or lost, then it presents a problem for you when you first hear about it and you've never had any training in it. Furthermore, if you have had some training in it and you've been taught one way or another about election, you may believe what you believe about it because of what you've been taught, but you may never have examined the Scripture carefully to see exactly what the Bible says. So what we're going to do today is we're simply going to study this doctrine of election as it is presented in the Bible without a whole lot of commentary one way or the other about who's right and who's wrong and all that other kind of stuff. And the reason is, if we can find out what the Bible says about election, then we can know a whole lot more about what it is or what it is not, simply by what the Bible says, and not so much about what we've been taught. I've noticed this a lot of times in dealing with people who were raised, for instance, in a Baptist church. And you start talking to them about the Bible, and they'll say, "Oh yeah, once saved, always saved," and that's okay. And you ask them why, and they can't really show you one or even two verses of Scripture. That's the way they've been taught. And so they get with somebody who has done a lot of study on why you can lose your salvation, and then pretty soon, within 30 to 45 minutes, the individual is confused. It's not necessarily true that the person who believes in once saved, always saved is wrong. It's just that he doesn't know how to substantiate his faith out of the Bible, and consequently, he's wrong for not having studied. He's wrong for not having studied. Likewise, if the other person comes in and twists up his faith and tells him that he can lose his salvation and is taking verses out of context and not dealing with the whole context, he's wrong for not having studied his Bible well. He's only studied enough to have been able to substantiate what he's been taught. So these are very dangerous things to do. It's dangerous not to study. It is dangerous to study only so much as to be able to prove why your doctrine is right. Both of those are very dangerous. The best thing to do is to simply read what the Bible says and then believe what the Bible says, even if what the Bible says and even if what the Bible shows you is contrary to what you have been taught before. Okay? Now, a lot of times people think you're going to come up and be real subtle. Listen, we're going to try to deal with every verse. I realize we have a short broadcast time when you think about it. We're going to try to deal with every verse that deals with election, which means with the 27 verses that we have and the 24 minutes that we have left, we're going to have to fly. So what I want to do is point these out to you and give you some of the other references that are identical to the one we're looking at, and I'll give you the reference numbers, and then you can actually look them up for yourself. All right, the very first time that the Bible uses the word elect, it shows up in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. The very first time that the word elect shows up It shows up in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. So let's go over there and let's see who this is a reference to. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law." Now, who is he talking about? "My servant whom I uphold, mine elect." Who is that? Do you have any idea? That's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. So the very first time that you see the word elect show up, it is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a reference to saved or lost people. It is a reference to the coming King of the Jews. And that's very important. When Jesus Christ was born, the men from the east came, the wise men from the east came, and they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Now, that's very important, because as you're going to keep studying through the Bible, you're going to see something that is a common thread about the word election. But just keep in mind, the first time that it shows up, it is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now let me ask you a question before we continue. Jesus Christ is the King of Jews, but is he ruling yet? Is he ruling yet? And I don't mean spiritually over the universe. I mean physically in the throne of David, like Luke chapter 1 said. In Luke chapter 1, Jesus Christ is to have a physical reign according to the angel that appeared to Mary, and he is to be given the throne of his father David. All right? And so the question is he doing that yet? And the answer is, not yet. Not yet. He will, though. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. All right? That isn't going on yet. So he is elected, but he's not yet ruling. That's a very important thing. In our country, we have a system of election. And when a president is elected, he is elected when? In November. And when does he take his office? In January, after his inauguration. And up until the time between the time that he is elected and the time that he actually takes his inauguration, he is called the what? He is called the what? He's called the president what? The president-elect. It shows that he has been elected, but he's not yet ruling. Jesus Christ has been elected. They denied him his rule and crucified him. So he is the King of the Jews by election, but he is not reigning yet. And he will not reign till he comes to this earth and reigns for 1,000 years. That's very important to keep in mind. Now, let's go to the second time that the word elect shows up in the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 45, and look at verse 4. All right, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 4 says, "Jacob my servant's sake, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect." But no problem there. It just says, "Israel mine elect." So we know who the reference is to this time. It's to the nation of Israel. "For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have called thee by thy name, I have surnamed thee, though thou knowest not, has not known me." Now, the person that he has named is Cyrus up in verse 1. And Cyrus was given specific instructions by God that the temple in Jerusalem be rebuilt. And so, sure enough, at the time that Cyrus takes the throne, there is a specific command to the Jews that they go back up and rebuild the temple. And that commandment is found in 2 Chronicles, the last chapter, and in Ezra, the first chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 22 and 23, and Ezra chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3, 4. Cyrus, before he was ever born, was named by God, and he was to give specific instructions for the temple to be rebuilt. Now, what's the temple for? It's for their sacrifice, and it's also for the preeminence and rule of the Jews. And if you know your Bible, and we spend a tremendous amount of time during our Isaiah study, you will know that the Jews are set to rule this earth as the ruling nation during the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Israel is mine elect. and it is an election to a rule. I have called thee by name, I have served thee, their Jews are to do that. Now in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 9, we'll see it again. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 9, the Bible says, "And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains." They hadn't done that yet. "And mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there." Now if you remember about the parable of the pounds, each man was given a pound, and one guy came in with 10, one guy came in with 5. The guy that came in with 10, what was he given for his good work? Well, he got to keep his 10 pounds for one thing, if you remember correctly. And what was the second thing he got to do? He was given authority over 10 cities. And the man with the 5 pounds, he was given authority over what? 5 cities. So there is an earthly rule in this earth of the servants of God, and they have a rule and a reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, what happens and what people seem to forget is that when they've been trained that election has something to do with salvation, all they can see is the word elect, and right behind it they see saved or lost, predestined to heaven or predestined to hell. People who believe in water baptism for salvation, every time they see the word baptism, whether water is a part of it or not, they see water. And every time they see the water, like they do in John chapter 3, whether they see the word baptism or not, they see baptism. Because that's the way they've been trained. Now, in the parable of the talents, which is found in Matthew chapter 25, one man makes 5 talents and one man makes 2 talents in the parable, and the other guy has 1 and he hides it. The guy that comes in with the 5 talents, he has said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee what? Ruler. Ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And the man that made 2 talents with his 2, he said the same thing. "I will make thee ruler over many things." He only made 2 talents, but he doubled them. The other guy only made 5 talents, but he doubled the ones he had. And both of them are made rulers over many things. And that's because, if you know your Bible, the Jews are the ruling nation during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Israel, mine elect. You see it again in Isaiah 65, 9. You see it again in Isaiah 65, 22. Isaiah 65, 22. "They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands." Context, verse 25, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together." It's the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And during that time, Israel is the elect. So, quickly, let's review. What we have seen so far is that the very first reference to the term elect in the Bible is a reference to Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ came as the King of the Jews. He was rejected, but he is still the King elect. And in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, we see eventually that the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. And so he is elected to rule. He's just not in that capacity. He's not sitting in the throne of David yet. In Isaiah 45, 4, 65, 9, and 65, 22, we see that the reference is to Israel, mine elect. And there, they have a millennial inheritance, and we know from studying the Bible that that millennial inheritance involves going back into the temple and being able to be the ruling nation of the earth during the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So those are the 4 references to the word elect in the Old Testament. Every time it shows up, it's either a reference to Jesus Christ or a reference to the nation of Israel. Every time it is in the context of Christ's millennial reign. Every time it has to do with a rule. And we use the term today, president elect, meaning the soon-to-be ruling president who has not yet received his reign because he has not yet had his inauguration. Jesus has not yet received his reign because he has not yet returned to this earth at his second advent. Israel has not yet received their reign because they have not yet been judged by the Lord Jesus Christ to go into their rule like the judgment of the pounds and the talents. Okay. Now, moving on into the New Testament, the next time we find the word elect show up in the Bible, we find it in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 22. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 22. So far, you've seen clearly that it is not a predestination to salvation concerning anybody. It is simply an election based upon somebody involved in a rule in the future. All right, Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Well, what are those days? According to Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, those days are the great tribulation. He says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So the elect there is a reference to somebody during the tribulation that is elected. It's not a church age saint that is elected by predestination. It is a tribulation saint. The elect's sake, those days should be shortened or shall be shortened. It doesn't have any effect on us right now, and it hasn't had any effect on anybody on this earth in the last 2,000 years. Matthew 24, 24, the next time it shows up, and there shall arise false Christ, false prophets shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Again, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. All three of those references, Matthew 24, 22, Matthew 24, 24, and Matthew 24, 31, are all references to tribulation saints, a time that has not yet come. So you would not use those references to form a church age doctrine that said election means God preordained before the foundation of the world who would be saved and who would be cast into hell. None of those references have anything to do with that. All of them have to do with people that are in the tribulation during the time preceding the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find parallel verses. I said we're going to look at all the verses. You'll find parallel verses in Mark 13:20, Mark 13:22, Mark 13:27. And once again, a reference to those tribulation saints in Luke 18:7. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the first seven verses in the New Testament all have to do with saints of God that are elected in the tribulation. By what means? By what means? Well, we haven't determined that. There's nothing to indicate to you in that context of what you've just read what the basis of election is, except for one verse in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, that says, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Well, there then, election doesn't determine his salvation. Endurance to the end determines his salvation. So what does the election have to do with? Well, if in the Old Testament, election had to do with somebody reigning, either the Lord Jesus Christ or Jews reigning with him during his millennial reign, then these people that are coming through here in the tribulation and who are elect by some means and evidently prepared for some rule, but you wouldn't be able to doctrinally come down with the statement based upon what you're looking at here. So you have to keep reading. All you know is that there are some people during the tribulation that are called elect. Now, we do know that following the tribulation, there are saved people. Look in Revelation chapter 7 and notice there are 144,000 Jews that are sealed between Revelation chapter 7 verse 3 and Revelation chapter 7 verse 8. But notice also after that, a great multitude in verse 9 is in heaven. They have white robes and palms in their hand, and there's a question as to where these men came from. And in verse 14, here is the answer. John says to the angel, I don't know where they came from. He says, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So these are the people that get saved out of the tribulation. They are a great multitude, and notice in verse 9, they come from all nations, all kindreds, all people, and all tongues. Those are the elect that are spoken of in Matthew 24, verses 22, 24, 31, Mark 13, 20, 22, 27, and Luke 18, 7. And they're from all kinds of things. And their method of salvation was the ability to endure to the end. They came out of great tribulation. and they're from everywhere, but there's nothing to imply that God made the choice before the foundation of the world who would be taken and who would not be taken. The choice was based upon whether or not they survived to the end of the tribulation. Well, you wouldn't form a doctrine out of that then. So let's keep reading. The next time we find the word elect show up, we find it in Romans 8:33. Romans 8:33. So we're going to go there. And this time you're going to find out that it is a reference to church age saints. That is, people like you and me that are saved before the rapture, saved before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Okay, now we found that, and that, if you read the context there, it's going to be to church age saints. And you know something? He shows up again in Romans chapter 11, verse 5, with the same thing. He says, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Look at it again in Romans chapter 11, verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. The rest were blinded. Now, what you found here in Romans chapter 8, verse 33, and Romans chapter 11, 5, and 11, 7, is there's now a switch in the church age. That is, there is another group of people that are referred to as the elect, or the election, or the election. That brings us to our verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, that says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, these various things. So what is this thing then? What is this election? Well, let me give you the other references, and then we'll look at some scripture here, because I want to make sure you get these all for your Bible study. The other references to the election, when it is a reference to Christians in the church age, are found in these Bible verses, 1 Thessalonians 1:4, 2 Timothy 2:10, Titus 1:1, 1 Peter 1:2, 1 Peter 5:13, 2 Peter 1:10, and then a specific reference to a specific Christian, 2 John 1 and 3 John 13. Let me give them to you again. The references where you find the word elect or elected or elects or election are these references, Colossians 3:12, 1 Thessalonians 1:4, 2 Timothy 2:10, Titus 1:1, 1 Peter 1:2, 1 Peter 2:6, excuse me, that's a reference to Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 5:13, 2 Peter 1:10, 2 John 1, and 2 John 13. All a reference to various Christians in the church age. Now, we've seen so far that the word elect can be a reference to Jesus Christ, it can be a reference to Israel, it can be a reference to the tribulation saints, and it can be a reference to church age saints, and it can also be a reference to angels. Look quickly with me in 1 Timothy 5:21. 1 Timothy 5:21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Okay, boy, are you thoroughly acquainted and thoroughly confused? Well, I hope not, but indeed, it's a weighty subject and there are a lot of references. Let me just tell you what you're dealing with here. On this, elect angels, you'll notice if you study Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, and if you'll study Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, a third of the angels follow the devil, and two-thirds of the angels follow Michael, and they fight. And the devil and his angels lose in their battle against Michael and his angels. Michael and his angels are the two-thirds that stay with God. Those are the elect. They're going to be the ministering spirits to the saints. And the third that go with the devil are not elect. They're lost. All right, now concerning Christians, let's get this down. If it always has to do with a rule or a service with a rule of Jesus Christ, then look at 2 Timothy 2:10. And this hopefully will give you a clue, and as you study out the rest of the references, you should be able to find similar things to what I'm showing you here. 2 Timothy 2:10, watch it. Paul says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. What are you reading there? Well, tough to have to rush through this. I hate doing it this way, but nonetheless, look at what he says there. your reign with Christ is conditional. If we suffer with him in verse 12 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Your reign with the Lord Jesus Christ is conditional upon whether or not you will suffer with him. Romans chapter 8 says the same thing. It says this, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Your reign with Jesus Christ is conditional upon your desire or your ability to suffer with him. And if you deny him because you're refusing to suffer, he's going to deny you that reign. But if you believe not, as 2 Timothy 2:13 says, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. What's the deal then? You are elected to reign with Jesus Christ, and you can forfeit that election if you refuse to serve him during the church age. So if you read the references that I gave you in the New Testament to church age Christians, election never has anything to do with your or Christ's decision as to whether or not he would save you before the foundation of the world. Election always has to do with your election to rule like Christ. You know, I mean, we are kings and priests, right? Your election to rule with Jesus Christ during his millennial reign, and you can forfeit that election, just like the fellow that hid the pound in the earth and wouldn't work, and therefore he lost that pound to the guy that had 10. You can forfeit that election if you refuse to serve him during the church age. What happened to Israel? They lost their ruling position when Nebuchadnezzar came in. They lost it when they rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and they will not get it back until Jesus Christ comes to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. So, just as Israel is under the wrath of God right now, even though they are the election, according to Romans 9:11 and Romans 11:28, they will not reign till Christ rules. You and I will not reign till Christ rules. The tribulation saints will not reign with him until Christ rules, and Christ will not rule until he comes back at the second advent. And every one of these references I gave you, it deals with our reign with them during the 1,000-year reign of Christ.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.